from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Martinez skies one out to left field. Going back, Muziati at the track, looking up at the wall, jumps up, and he can't make the catch. It's gone for a home run. Aurelvis Martinez carries one out to left field for his league-leading 15th of the season, and it's 4-1 Herd.
There he is, the voice of the Bisons, Pat Mellicaro. Bisons in Lehigh Valley tonight, 6:35 first pitch. You can hear it on the bet, 15:20. And we bring Pat in now here to open up hour number two of our Belmont show. Brian Colsey with you live here at Batavia Downs. I mistakenly said Salem Field. They are on the road, which I knew. I don't know why I said Salem Field, but Pat, you're in Lehigh Valley at Coca-Cola Park. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Brian. Great to chat with you. It's been an interesting series this week. It's the Bisons one, as you heard Evan say in the update there yesterday. The Martinez home run, he's been electric this year, but a little bit of a tough week and a half or so, I would say, for the Bisons since being in Syracuse last week, but happy to join you today.
Yeah, looking forward to it here. So Bisons one game above 500, but as you says, you know, not trending great as of late here. What do you think needs to happen here for them to put on a decent push here? I know the first half standings are still going. How much longer do we have in this first half?
Yeah, there's 13 more games, including tonight, and then the first half ends when the Bisons go to Scranton-Wilkes-Barre in late June. They'll have a homestand next week, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute, against Worcester. Go to Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, and then the first half comes to a close. And that was the nice thing about last year. You play 75 games, and then the standings reset to zero. You play the second 75 games. The Bisons were a better team in the first half last year than they are this year, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They had a better win-loss record, I guess I would say. But the second half last year gives you an opportunity to kind of reset, and we saw players like Aurelvis Martinez join the Bisons in the second half and give this team an injection of life in terms of the power numbers that we're seeing this year. So if there's something encouraging to look at, despite the fact that the Bisons are 12 games back of Omaha with 13 to play in the first half, it's almost mathematically impossible that the team will be able to make up that ground. You still have the second half of the season and something to play for. And oh, by the way, Bison manager Casey Candell, who's into his now part of his fourth season, because if you may recall, he was the interim bench coach in 2022 halfway through the year for Toronto. He's on the verge of having four straight winning seasons, something that's virtually unheard of here at AAA.
Yeah, that's really impressive. Pat, one thing I know when you and I spoke about the start of the Bison season and I asked you, like, what's this team going to be all about? You did say you expected an improved offensive team and that they would be more exciting to watch in that sense. And I think that's probably still held true, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. The offense has been the reason why they've been able to win as many games as they have. Second best batting average in the league at .267. I would not have expected that. Also, you add in the fact that Spencer Horwitz is back in the big leagues right now with Toronto. Nathan Lucas has been here the whole season. Those two guys at the top of the order are two of the top three hitters in the league right now. For Horwitz, hitting .335, that is third best in the league. Lucas, fourth best at .333. And these are two guys that get on base plenty. So batting average is very good for Buffalo as a team. The on-base percentage is the best in the league, and there is one team right around them as well in the Worcester Red Sox, who the Bisons will see next week. But then you go to the offensive power numbers. Those are much improved from last year. So the Bisons are adding in the average, but they're also adding in the power, which is something that maybe they haven't had as much of the last 2 years before guys like Martinez, Barger, and even someone like Riley Tirado, who's come up from AA, adding some pop as well.
Pat Malacaro with us from Coca-Cola Park in Lehigh Valley, where the Bisons are playing tonight, 6:35 first pitch on the bet, 15-20. Well, you mentioned Martinez kind of leading the way, 15 home runs this year. Barger as well, second on the team. How about even just maybe some of the prospects that coming in this year, Pat, that maybe people were keeping an eye on and within the Blue Jays organization from what you have seen this year and just their output, and maybe for those that have even moved up to Toronto at this point?
Yeah, we'll start right with Martinez and Barger, and those were the two guys that, if you're talking about position player-wise, Blue Jay fans were excited about. You've got Martinez, not only the number two prospect in the Blue Jay organization, but a top 100 prospect, according to most of the rating services out there. He's on the verge of making his Major League debut. Not quite there yet. Transition from shortstop. He was primarily at shortstop the last 2 years, and especially last year in Buffalo. He's moved to second a lot. He's played a little bit of third base now as well. I think, you know, you look at, read the tea leaves, Bo Bichette is your everyday shortstop in Toronto right now. He's not going anywhere through the next couple of seasons. So where would the need be? Well, that's at second base in Toronto, because Addison Barger is the more athletic of the two players in terms of prospects, and Barger's a top prospect as well. He made his Major League debut in Kansas City about a month ago, and it was in left field. He had never played left before in his career, and he acclimated well. And there was one error in the game, but he recovered from it nicely. The thing about Barger is he's more of a natural athlete. He had never played right field before last year, picked it up at the end of the season over the final month and a half or so, and now is playing more outfield. He'll play in left tonight for the Bison. So you talk about two guys offensively that add a lot of power and can add some athleticism. That's disappointing thing for the Bisons fans and Blue Jay fans is Ricky Tiedemann hasn't thrown since April in a game, dealing with a little bit of an elbow inflammation injury. The good news was no structural damage, no damage to the ulnar collateral ligament, which is the one that in the pitching elbow can lead to Tommy John surgery. So none of that for Tiedemann. He's been in Florida since about the beginning of May. Hopefully we'll be back with the team. Just reading some reports from John Schneider's media interviews the last couple of days. Hopefully by the end of the month back with Buffalo. He was the opening day starter. He's going to be a guy that you look towards the rotation in the future with the Blue Jays and say, yeah, he's a big part of it when guys like Gausman and Bassett and Kikuchi are gone. And he's a left-handed arm with a good changeup and a good fastball. So, you know, hopefully we'll see him again soon. And talk about injuries. That really has been the story of the last really 3 weeks for this team, which has six players on the injured list, a couple of more dealing with bumps and bruises that really aren't available, but they're not going to be on the injured list right now. So that's really the story of what's really been the catalyst to so many losses as of late.
Pat Malacaro with us live from Coca-Cola Park, Lehigh Valley. Tonight, Bisons play 6:35. You can hear it on the bet 15-20. Bisons have a homestand coming up, which we'll talk about in a moment. But, Pat, you mentioned then some of these injuries or some of these call-ups may be affecting the herd, which also, of course, we know is all about trying to make the Blue Jays the best they can be. How disappointing are they this year? I mean, would you rank them at the top of the biggest disappointment in the American League?
They're right up in that conversation, I think, for sure. And it starts right at the top. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette just had a very under expectations to the start of the season. They did not perform up to what their expectations were. Now we've seen Vladdy now get to .295 with a batting average and add a little more pop with seven home runs. But Dalton Varsho is leading the team in home runs right now with 10. So you expect Vladdy to eventually lead the team in homers and the power numbers to increase. And for Bo Bichette, look, he's been historically a slow starter, and he had gotten away from that the last couple of years. Here's somebody who's led the American League in batting. He's going to hit at some point this year. It looked like in the latter part of May, he was starting to come out of it, finished the month hitting .280 for May, but really has gone into a little bit of a slump again here at the start of June. But maybe the encouraging sign, when the Blue Jays only scored one run last night in Oakland, it was Guerrero getting on base, and it was Bo with a base hit the opposite way to score him. So two hits for Bo last night, a 2-for-4 day. Maybe that is what will help get him going for the Blue Jays, because there's plenty of time left. But by the same token, you don't want to bury yourself so far. And I talked to Derek Kramer about this morning. You look at the American League East. The Yankees are the best team in the AL and fighting with the Phillies for the best team in baseball, period. You're not going to potentially win the division unless you go on a massive, we're talking like a 20-game winning streak here over the course of a month. The Orioles, and I don't have to tell you, they are playing almost as well as the Yankees. They're a very good team and are probably going to claim the top wild card spot. So now you're really talking about two wild card possibilities left. You've got to find your way to start picking off the teams. Look, we've had this conversation about the Sabres for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Find a way to pick off the teams in front of you, win those games. You have to win the series against Oakland. They're not must win, but you have to win these games. You had to beat teams like Detroit. You had to beat Pittsburgh like they did last week for the Blue Jays. And then you split with Baltimore and you feel good about yourself going to Oakland. Now you've got to win on this road trip as well.
Yeah, and Pat, I think the wild card race, I'm sure, is where maybe the Blue Jays have to think about, hey, well, even though we've had the start that we didn't want, there's still more than half of the season to go. And officially, this team is really only three back as of this moment of a wild card position. There is a large group of teams that are just around 500. The Red Sox, the Rays, let's see, who else did that mix? I mean, the Rangers are in that mix.
Right, Boston's in front of you. Who would have thought that either the Red Sox or even a team like Kansas City? I mean, talk about a big winning streak. I mean, Kansas City just coming off of one of those. If you go on the road here, win maybe four or five in a row, bring that home to Toronto and make a seven or eight game winning streak out of it, then maybe you are in that playoff spot already, and this is in the rearview mirror.
Right, and as we saw, that it is not now impossible to advance deep in the postseason from the wild card position. So it's there. There is plenty of time left. And you figure if they're still, at this point, only a couple of games out of a wild card spot with how poorly the team has done offensively, that they obviously maybe can almost turn that into a positive, like you said. Pat, the Blue Jays have made some bigger trades and some bigger moves over the last couple of off seasons to try to like push them over the hump when they had made the postseason. When you look back at some of these moves that they've made, you know, maybe Hernandez, even a big trade, that sort of thing. Like, where do you think it's gone well, and where do you think maybe it hasn't gone well?
I think in terms of what the Blue Jays were needing, they went out and acquired those needs. And now maybe, you know, that you mentioned Teoscar Hernandez, he's now with the Dodgers, but you needed some back end of the bullpen help. You get Eric Swanson, and he was as reliable as a right-hander last year with 70 appearances. Has struggled this year, and here in Buffalo right now trying to work on it. But you look at the starting pitching staff, and I think that's where the Blue Jay front office has done their best work. You go out and acquire Jose Berríos in 2021 for Simeon Woods Richardson and Austin Martin. Both are now starting to make an impact for Minnesota, but they're not. I don't think that's a trade where you're the Twins and say, man, we won that trade. If you're the Blue Jays, Berríos is one of the best pitchers in baseball in the American League. He has led your rotation for 2 years now, and you've signed him to an extension. That's a really good trade. You go out and sign Kevin Gausman. You go sign Chris Bassett. The first year of Yusei Kikuchi's deal wasn't great, but last year he was as dependable as could be. And I think that's where the one area where you look back on this and say, the starting pitching has been remarkably healthy outside of Alek Manoah the last two seasons. If you would have told me that you're going to get basically every start out of your top four starters, I would expect you to be a playoff team. And it's trending in that direction again this year with the four that I mentioned outside of Manoah, who's going to undergo elbow surgery and end his season coming up soon. If you continue to get that, then you're just hoping that your offense that we talked about, the guys that really need to lead you, eventually get you there. And that's why you went out and acquired Justin Turner in the offseason. You talk about maybe Bo and Vladdy not performing as up to standards at the start of the year. Well, Justin Turner was the kind of the catalyst, and even Isaiah Kiner-Falefa a little bit to help lead the team, trying to come up with some big base hits, another offseason acquisition. You go get Justin Turner because he's been to the World Series a bunch of times, won a World Series with the Dodgers, and is still very serviceable as a utility man. So I think that's why the Blue Jays go out and make some of those moves. Some of them paid off, some haven't, but I think by and large they've hit more than they've missed.
Pat, last thing on the big leagues, just you have a quick thought on what the Guardians are doing. Cleveland really, really playing well, 40-22. How surprising are what they're doing so far?
I think outside of Seattle leading the West, that is the biggest surprise in the American League. And you're adding in the fact that Terry Francona retires as your manager last year, and what do the Guardians do? They bring in Stephen Vogt, who is just retired pretty much from baseball. And we sent kind of this new wave of managers. I think it didn't work out in Chicago, but David Ross was the manager there for a couple of years. You see players transition quickly from playing days to managing. Mark Kotze for Oakland right now is another one of those guys. I would not have expected Cleveland to perform this well and to be 18 games above 500 right now, and basically the same record as the Orioles. So I think that's a surprise. And you look at the Central in general, you've got three teams right now in playoff spots between Kansas City and Minnesota in the other two wild card positions. I wouldn't have expected the Central to be performing this well from top to bottom at this point of the year.
Pat, before we let you go here, the Bisons have a homestand upcoming next week, including, I know, some cool Father's Day promotions. So I want you to let everybody know about that.
Yeah, homestand starts Tuesday all the way through next Sunday. Some regular promotions on the schedule. Tuesday, the Tuesday deal, where it's $2 Salem hot dogs at the ballpark. It's a Topps dog day as well, where fans can purchase a game ticket and their four-legged friend can come to the ballpark with them in the general admission seating. There's a pregame dog parade around the warning track as well. On Wednesday, an autograph book giveaway for kids at the gates, which should be fun. Also, you mentioned Father's Day. Not only is there going to be a logo baseball giveaway through the gates for fans that come to the ballpark that day, but you can go down to the field and play catch with that afterwards. And, you know, I know we've talked about it plenty, but Friday nights are always our biggest night of the week for fireworks, pregame happy hour. It's game show night is the theme for our Honda Friday Night Bash, and then the award-winning fireworks show afterwards. So it's a jam-packed week against, oh, by the way, the AAA affiliate of the Boston Red Sox, who, just seeing some of the transactions today, could have one of the Red Sox outfielders joining the team as well in Masataka Yoshida, who's dealing with a thumb injury. So he could potentially be rehabbing with Worcester for at least a couple of days next week.
Pat, tonight is the start of the Stanley Cup Finals, Edmonton and Florida. I know you and I work many broadcasts for the Sabres Radio Network. What are you most looking forward to with this series starting up?
I'm really interested to see if Edmonton and their top stars are able to come through. I mean, we know Connor McDavid, what he does and what Leon Draisaitl can do. This is, to me, you know, we've talked about it for years. This is like this is the time that Edmonton has gotten close a couple of times with McDavid. You know, someone like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been there the whole time. Are they able to take down Florida, who seems like they're on an unstoppable path to the cup with the chemistry? You know, maybe for Sabre fans, you know, disappointing that so many ex-Sabres are potentially, you know, four games away from winning the Stanley Cup and what they've been able to do down there. So I'll be interested to see if Edmonton's able to stop what seems like, you know, the freight train right now that is the Panthers.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. McDavid winning the cup would be great for the league. We know, Pat, we of course were watching that lottery so closely. When the Oilers won the lottery and Sabre fans were hoping that McDavid was coming to Buffalo, we thought, geez, is that the last place Gary Bettman wants McDavid to go, is Edmonton? And I know you and I were chatting earlier this week. Is South Florida and Edmonton, Alberta going to be a ratings disaster for American television here? Maybe McDavid will be enough to draw people in. I mean, he definitely now is more of a household name, I think, maybe.
I think that's the thing, exactly. I think when you're talking about trying to promote your sport, who are your best athletes? That's who you want elevated to the national stage. And you've got that tonight on a chance. The game isn't on ESPN. It's on ABC. So, you know, anybody that has an antenna, you know, whatever, you have the ability to watch the best player in the game take on maybe the most complete team right now. Obviously, one of the best two left, but you've got the most marketable star in the league for the next couple of games on ABC. I think this is, even though it's Edmonton and it's a Canadian market, if you're the league, you're absolutely loving this. And we've talked about it off, you know, in text as well. I think in this day and age where sports, you see the contracts that are being handed out from the streaming platforms, whether it be, you know, Apple Friday Night Baseball games, MLB, the NBA rumored to be going to a place like Amazon coming up, you know, all these different streaming platforms have changed the game. And even the NFL. I mean, I sound old, but when you and I grew up, the AFC was on NBC, and then it transitioned to CBS, and Fox had the NFC.
Yep.
Now everything is jumbled up. Basically any game can be on any network at any time. So the way that we watch sports, I think, is transitioning to a new era in TV and in general that is really exciting, I think, if you're a sports fan.
I agree. I mean, there's obviously a handful of former Sabres on Florida. I think it would be good if Kyle Okposo got it. I know fans are maybe, you know, torn on wanting Florida to win it with all these former players. But, I mean, it would be a nice storybook ending for him, for Aposa to finish his career getting the cup. I think, you know, I know that you could poke holes at what Aposa represented with the Sabres, but if you hear what the players have to say, it's almost all positive things and of what, you know, a good person he was in the room and with the organization. So I think Florida winning for that piece wouldn't be a bad thing.
I agree with you, and I don't have a rooting interest, if you will, in either side. I think either side is good for the league, and you can make a case for, you know, wanting either Edmonton or Florida to win, but you do have something to, if you're a Sabres fan, to potentially root for on both sides, and, you know, what to look to as well in two teams that have been able to get there, and whether it be trades or even some bringing in some of their homegrown talent to get to that point as well. You've got two things you can look to and say, you know, if we just can get to this point real soon, you know, things are looking brighter for the Sabres.
I agree. Pat, thanks for joining us. I know you got a busy day with the game tonight. Have a great call. 6:35 on the Bet 1520.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Pat Malacaro live, Coca-Cola Park, Lehigh Valley, where the Bisons are tonight. And then, as I mentioned, Pat mentioned the homestand next week, including some cool Father's Day activities next week. And check it out, bisons.com, for more information. All right, timeout. When we come back, Ryan Hasenauer rejoins us here live at Batavia Downs Gaming. We will go through each of the 10 horses. Get your pen and paper out ready here. You can take some notes on if you want to throw a wager on today. Ryan, I'll give you some nuggets on each of the 10 horses in the field today here as we get you set for the Belmont Stakes, which is set to run at 6:41 from Saratoga. I'm Brian Colzio. We'll take a timeout here. Thanks for being with us. More of our Belmont show from Batavia Downs right after this, coming up on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the time. We welcome you back here to our Belmont Stakes show, part of our Triple Crown series show. Thanks for being with us. Brian Colzio live at Batavia Downs Gaming as we are inside the Park Place room, about an hour away or so from people starting to come in for the Bourbon and Whiskey Fest. Mm-hmm. Before we go through the field, Ryan, let's give everybody up to date on how they can take part in this today.
Yeah, so I was just texting with Josh from our events department to see how many of those tickets are still remaining. I'm just waiting to see here, and I'll share that with you when I hear. But again, tickets available only today at the Lucky Treasures gift shop in the lobby. 250 tickets already sold. So if you already got tickets, you're good. You don't think you got to get in here to get other tickets. If you already got a ticket to the show, you're in great shape. So people, come on in. I can see right in front of Brian here is where we have the chafers for all the food. We have the mounds of free programs up there as well. Everyone can grab a program and make a bet. And then, of course, I can see the Jack Daniel's sign. There's three-quart bourbon and all these other bourbons and whiskeys that are here around the room. Everyone's getting ready to get set up here because we're about an hour away. And people will just walk around the room, enjoy themselves, visit the water station, visit the self-service terminals here to our right where we have everybody making their wagers. So can't wait.
And a chance to maybe meet, take a picture with Danny Gare. He's going to be joining us toward the end of the show.
Yeah, should be here hopefully in a little bit. And yeah, Danny will pop on, talk Sabres, talk whatever.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. All right. Ready to go through the horses here?
Absolutely.
All right. Everybody get your pen and paper out here. If you want to make a wager and you're like, well, what horse should I take? Ryan's going to give you some reasons to maybe take any of these 10 here along the way. So let's start it off here.
Yes.
And we'll go with the first horse in the race, which is Seize the Gray at 8-1.
8-1. The Preakness winner, of course, won the Preakness Stakes in front-running fashion on a muddy track. He's got the rail, but the rail's not as bad as it is when you're in the Derby. You get pinched on the rail in the Derby because there's just so many horses. There's a huge crush. Here, there's a little bit more room. Obviously, you'll be able to kind of maneuver with less horses as well. So, and again, with the track being probably fast because it looks like there's going to be no rain there, it's going to be kind of important to take a look at the early front fractions. If they go fast, you know, Seize the Gray is going to probably want to do a little bit of closing if he can. You know, a lot of these horses have different kind of running styles. And Seize the Gray, you know, actually, excuse me, he'll probably want to go right out to the front. He's not a closer. He's actually one of the horses going to go right out to the front. So he'll try to trade as fast early fractions. He doesn't want to go too fast, though, because then he'll get tired and then he'll get bounced to the back. So I'm going to be using Seize the Gray certainly in some of my wagers today.
And I would think Seize the Gray, too, just coming off of winning the Preakness. People that are just going to recognize the name from winning the Preakness horse, they may get some extra love just that because of that.
They'll get some wagers that way for sure.
Yep. All right, let's go to the two horse, Resilience, 10-1.
So Resilience won the Wood Memorial and then finished sixth in the Kentucky Derby. He came wide on that far turn and made the best of it, but did come in sixth. With less horses, he may deserve a look here, and he's likely to stalk just off the lead. He's already lost twice, though, to Sierra Leone, the favorite here. So, you know, you're going up against a horse that's certainly beating you a few times. The most recent time, of course, was in the Risen Star Stakes, that Grade 2 race that goes off at the Fairgrounds before the Wood Memorial there, as they kind of get on the race to the Triple Crown, all the path there. So he'll have to take another step up to win because he keeps getting beat by these better horses. So you've got Junior Alvarado in the back. You got Bill Mott, you know, two great storied trainers and jockeys there. But Resilience, maybe I'm going to probably use him underneath maybe third or fourth in some of my bets.
All right. Ryan Hasenauer with us from Etabie Downs Gaming. We're going through the 10 horses that are in the Belmont Stakes, the 156th edition from Saratoga. We go to the three horse next, and that's where we find the Kentucky Derby winner, Mystic Dan, who is 5-1.
Yes, he's going to probably try to stalk the lead again. He got the perfect trip, Brian. I mean, I remember watching the race upstairs in the clubhouse with all the fine folks that were here for our big Derby party and watching him just be able to maneuver around the horses and just get to where he had to go and to hold off Sierra Leone there for second. He's going to try to replicate that trip, and it might be a little bit easier because you've got less horses in this race. Definitely going to be using Mystic Dan in a lot of my bets today.
All right, Mystic Dan and Seize the Gray, two of the Triple Crown winners here so far, trying to get two of three. Kind of, is there a Horse of the Year award? Is there a?
There is. So there's several Horse of the Year, but I believe, and I don't know if it's because I think it's called the Eclipse Horse of the Year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a brand of something called Eclipse that sponsors it. I'm sure it's not the gum, but usually that goes to the 3-year-old of the year. That's like the Horse of the Year. So whoever wins this race will probably, you know, be in contention. If it ends up being
one of those,
the one
two,
or the two, yeah, then they're clearly a head up on the rest.
Yep. All right, let's go to the four horse. I guess you'd consider one of the longer shots, although not too long. The Wine Steward at 15-1.
So the Wine Steward got Manuel Franco there and Michael Maker as his trainer. Now, this particular horse raced in the Grade 3 Peter Pan Stakes, as did a few of these horses. He came in second, and that was on the 11th of May, so about a week before, the week in between the Derby and the Preakness. So he's had a little bit of a rest since then. So he's got about, you know, maybe about a month's worth of rest here, a little less maybe. So again, a decent horse. It was the Peter Pan Stakes took place at Aqueduct. It's the New York prep, basically, for this race. And he's also the son of Vino Rosso, who is a Breeders' Cup Classic winner. And he's likely to press the pace if you look at his program, which you can pick up free at any OTB branch. He likes to go right to the front and will try to press that pace. He has 3 wins and 3 seconds and 6 career starts, so he's always finishing the money. But he has tired. He tired in the stretch at his first try at 1 1/8. And, Brian, this is 1 1/4, so it's another 1/8 of a mile, and he tired last time. So does he have what it takes in the tank to get to the finish line ahead of the other horses? We'll have to see. I'm probably not betting on it.
Yep. All right, let's go to the five horse next, and that's Antiquarium at 12-1.
So Antiquarium is the horse that won the Peter Pan Stakes back there on the 11th of May at Aqueduct. This horse is trained by 4-time Belmont Stakes winner Todd Pletcher, and he's going to probably try to stalk that lead. If you look, he went from he was the four horse in a 6-horse field there in the Peter Pan Stakes. He dropped all the way to third, just hung out, and then in the last furlong there, just took the lead, and he ended up winning by 3/4 of a length. So Antiquarian, it's got John Velasquez on his back, an absolute legend. And he's been his rider for all his starts, and John Velasquez has 2 Belmont wins. So, you know, sometimes we talk about knowing the territory. In this case, they know the territory. John Velasquez has raced plenty of races at Saratoga.
Right.
But he's also raced and won this race with this much pressure, right, with this much pomp and circumstance around it. So, you could still say it's a good thing that he's got John Velasquez on his back.
All right, let's go to horse six here as we're halfway through. Dornock, 15-1.
Dornock is the full brother, as mentioned earlier on the show, of the 2023 Kentucky Derby winner, Mage. He won the Coolmore Fountain of Youth Stakes, but was just 10th in the Derby. He got shuffled, though, got checked. Again, he had the one hole, so he had a really bad trip. His speed numbers have decreased. Now, normally, knowing that I was the one that picked Mage last year, and I got all excited, and he won, and that was really good for me and my bets, seeing Dornock's speed figures go down isn't really great. You know, it was 102 in the Fountain of Youth. It dropped to 98 in the Bluegrass Stakes, where he finished fourth, and then, you know, just all the way back there in 10th in the Kentucky Derby, he had an 85 speed rating. But again, you're dealing with a lot of traffic, a lot of horses. You can't really just get out and run. So I don't want to tell you I'm going to throw out his last race, but I'm going to probably throw out his last race. I will be using Dornock in a few of my bets today for sure.
All right, Dornock is horse six. We go to horse seven, and this is the biggest long shot of the field here, Protective at 20-1.
This horse finished third in the Peter Pan Stakes. The top three horses from the Peter Pan Stakes are in this race today. He's a maiden. Which means he's never actually won a race. He's got four lifetime starts with 1 second and 2/3. He's not your typical maiden, though, because there's a lot to say about this horse for him to be in this race. Tyler Gaffalione is on Protective. He is off Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone, who, again, came second in the Derby. He's got a new jockey on his back. And so Protective gets the benefit of getting Tyler Gaffalione today. We'll have to see what he's going to do. He's going to probably stalk and then try to close. Two races back, he finished third. He was all the way back to 11th in a 12-horse field and then slowly came up the line, picking off horses as he went. So, again, will he have what it takes with a slightly longer distance?
All right. That was horse seven. We go to horse eight. And Honor Marie at 12-1.
Honor Marie finished eighth in the Kentucky Derby, jostled again at the start, as many horses are, but did rally back for eighth. It was a fast closing second in the Louisiana Derby, which is that prep race that they had before the Kentucky Derby and where he earned some of his points to get into this race. He's going to try to do a repeat of that effort to make him a factor there. He also is going to hang back and try to close late, picking off horses as they go. A lot of horses trying to come late, so we'll see who's able to kind of jockey for position there. Florent Giroux is the jockey with, looks like Whit Beckman is the trainer.
Horse nine, Sierra Leone, 9-5, the Kentucky Derby runner-up and coming in rested.
Yes, 5 weeks to rest, did not race in the Preakness Stakes, took it off after a very great showing in the Kentucky Derby. Again, finished second. He got bumped. He went eight wide. He fought on, and he got all the way up there, just finished by a half a length there. Or nose, actually. Not even a half a length. The nose there for second place. Flavian Pratt is now on this horse. So a big jockey change. If you look at your free OTB program, Tyler Gaffalione on his last three starts, a first, and a second in the Kentucky Derby. But Chad Brown, says, you know what? We're going to talk to Flavian. We're going to put Flavian on the back. So Flavian's on the back for number nine, Sierra Leone. Going to be using the number nine in everything I do today.
All right. Definitely high on that horse. And we finish off the 10th horse here with Mindframe, 7-2.
Now, this horse has only won. It's won both of its starts. It's got two starts lifetime. It never raced as a two-year-old. So here it is as a three-year-old in the Belmont Stakes. He raced in March and he raced in May, and he won, like I said, both those races with a great speed figure of 108 and 99. He first won a maiden special weight for $89,000. Then he won an allowance race for $127,000. This is for $2 million, Brian. If I didn't know anything about this horse other than looking at what races he raced in, and knowing in the name, I don't know if I would pick this horse or use him in anything. But then you look and you see that he's got Erat Ortiz Jr. on his back, and he's got Todd Pletcher as his trainer. Both those things definitely perked my interest, and it perked the interest of many people, and so much as that he's the second choice favorite right now. So certainly Mindframe would make a huge splash if all of a sudden he wins his third ever start, and he does so against the Derby winner and the Preakness winner here in the third leg of the Triple Crown. I'm going to be using him underneath on some of my bets. If you talk to Nick the Railbird, he was on with Joe and I think Evan on Friday morning because Jeremy was off. You've got, he used Mindframe and he used the five. He liked the 10 and the five, Nick the Railbird did. So I'm going to be using both those guys, but, you can't leave out the nine. And, of course, you can't leave out the one and the three, the other Triple Crown racing winners of those other previous legs of the Triple Crown. So we've got a couple things that we've got in play here, and I'll definitely be tweeting out a picture of my picks, and we'll be going over that in the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I think it's worth saying again. I know we said it to start the show. You've got the Preakness winner and the Kentucky Derby winner not even – first or second amongst the betting favorites here today. So, I mean, you've got, out of these 10 horses here, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like you could make an argument for 7 of them winning?
Absolutely.
Is that fair to say?
Brian, I think that's completely fair. I think you could make an argument for the 1, the 2, the 3, the 5, the 6, and probably the 9 and the 10, you know?
7, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what you could really make an argument for. And I'm not saying the other horses aren't great horses. Every horse that's in this race today is great. But it's going to be really interesting to see what the early fractions are. If it's slow, that's going to benefit those front runners because they can just continue to stay up front and try to go wire to wire. Whereas if the fractions are really fast at the beginning, those early horses that are on the lead are going to tire. And then here come all those closers, including Sierra Leone and some of the other big ones.
And again, worth mentioning, it's not a mile and a half. It's a mile and a quarter. And it's in Saratoga this year, and it will be again next year if you want to go. So start to make your plans for that, for sure.
Get your Airbnb now.
How can people make a wager today?
So you can come see me here at Batavia Downs. You can walk right in and go upstairs to the ITW. That's our Intertrack wagering area. If you do have a ticket for the Belmont's Bourbon and Whiskey Fest, you can come downstairs in the Park Place. They'll have live tellers, SSTs, myself, Sean Chiano will help you make a wager. If you are out and about in the Buffalo Rochester area or listening on the app out in Syracuse or down in Jamestown, make sure you are going to your local OTB branch, or you can visit an Easy Bet. That's like a small OTB that has an SST that's inside of a bar, restaurant, bowling alley, mini mart. There are all kinds of different places. And in fact, if you're a bar owner or you're a mini mart owner or bowling alley owner and you want to get in on this, we could put an Easy Bet inside of your establishment. You just give me a call up here at the main office here at Batavia Downs. We'll take a look to see if you're in a certain spot. We got to make sure that they're spaced out. But it's a great way to bring extra business to you on these big horse racing days. You get people to come into your place. We do a lot of advertising, of course, on WGR and other places as well. They'll let people know about the races. And, of course, every other day of the year when there's not a Triple Crown race, people still come in. They stay a little bit longer in your establishment, eating and drinking and enjoying the races. And, of course, as an OTB Easy Bet owner, as somebody who's partnering with us, you do get a portion of proceeds of the winning. So if someone goes to your OTB Easy Bet and they hit it big, they hit a big thing, you're going to get a little piece of that. Kind of like what happens with the New York State Lottery. If you sell lottery tickets, you know that lottery ticket places, they get a little something if somebody hits a big ticket at their place. Or if it's sold there, I should say. So, yeah, reach out to us for those Easy Bet stuff. But if you want to find out where they are, westernotb.com/locations. Put in your address. You'll find a location near you. And if you're out and about, you're doing some yard work, you can't make it out, you're just going to go inside the house and flip it on Fox and watch it here at the end of the day, get on BataviaBets.com, make your wager there. Easy peasy.
All right. I did my lawn cutting in between Tee to Green and the show today.
That was smart.
That was smart. This way, tonight I can watch the horse race, and then I can watch the Stanley Cup Final. Who do you like tonight? Edmonton or not tonight, but in the series?
Edmonton or Florida? I think I like Edmonton. I'm very conflicted with a lot of the stuff that went on with the Sabres. And, of course, I'm preaching to the choir here, to the guy that had to do the postgame show every day for the last however many years with all the failings that we've had. But, you know, it's tough because I see how hard some of the Sabres have worked. But then I see a lot of things where I'm like, wow, maybe the captain should have spoke up a little bit more. Maybe this person should have said some other things. And here we are kind of wallowing in mediocrity. And it's like, do I want to root for those people? They're all good people. Don't get me wrong. A lot of these people are great people. It's tough, you know, because it also, there's a little bit of sour grapes because we could have had McDavid. He could have been a Sabre. This could have been us, you know, going there. So it's certainly conflicting. But I'll be watching. I'll be watching that and then watching a lot of cricket, Brian.
Yes.
Cricket. There was a little cricket talk on Friday morning, which I like to hear.
For a man who looks at the odds, if you're wondering about the NHL odds tonight, Florida in these finals are 125, minus 125.
So they're the favorites then, yes.
Yeah, minus 125.
What's
in
Edmonton?
The series. Plus 105.
That's not bad. A little more than even money. That's all good.
Yeah. It's pretty even, I would say, overall.
Well, I might take a flyer on the Oilers to win the series. We'll have to see on that. That's all
right. Nice. All right, Ryan, we'll get your official picks coming up right before we sign off, a little bit before 5 o'clock. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, time out here from our Belmont show. Don't forget, Dan Dunleavy, Danny Garris. We got a lot of NHL and hockey talk coming up in hour number 3 as we roll on from inside the Park Place room at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel. Back with more in a moment. I'm Brian Colziel here on WGR. .356, welcome back. Real short segment here on our Belmont show live at Batavia Downs Gaming as to get you ready for hour number three. Dan Dunleavy coming up in our 4 o'clock hour. Also, Sabres great Danny Gare going to join us live on site here at Batavia Downs Gaming. And then Ryan Hasenauer will rejoin us with his picks coming up here before we leave you at 5 p.m. And don't forget, tonight we have the game of Edmonton and Florida, Game 1 tonight on WGR. So hope you can tune in for that. Again, yeah, Florida, a slight favorite in this series overall. For me, it's kind of a coin flip series. So I guess, you know, if you're looking about actually action on it, I think Edmonton maybe is the play because it's slight plus money. No, you know, less risk, I guess, involved. You know, the Stanley Cup itself this year, you've got teams that had really, really good regular seasons. So you can say, you know, sometimes we get these, you know, the teams that finish kind of in the middle of the road that make their way through the playoffs. It is so difficult to navigate through this, you know, four rounds, obviously. But I think this year you've got a really, really nice set of teams in the finals. You know, you're going to have a team that wins. You're going to say, well, that was a deserving winner. Sometimes we get not the best team from the regular season ending up in the finals. I think when you look at these two teams here, Florida, who of course, you know, ends up winning the Atlantic, one of the best teams in the NHL all year, I think they're clearly worthy. They were there last year. And Edmonton has the best player in the league. So I think it's a good matchup on paper. I understand why maybe it's close on the betting lines. And whoever ends up winning, I think, is a worthy champion. Last year, we know, of course, Vegas won. They were one of the best in the regular season. Then the year before that, Colorado. And then 2 years in a row with Tampa. So overall, you know, you're getting teams that probably are deserving champions based upon the regular season. I always want at least the regular season to have some meaning on the playoffs. Not saying that you can't have upsets, but I don't love it when you get like two teams that finished like 7th and 6th or something in their respective conferences. So the fact that Florida and Edmonton finished so high, I'm really happy about that. All right, we'll take a timeout. Dan Dunleavy coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the latest on the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 1 tonight. We'll see the latest with the Sabres. The Amerks have a new coach. All that and more coming up. Voice of the Sabres, Dan Dunleavy, up next right here. Hour number three on our Belmont Show from Batavia Downs Gaming on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
.356, welcome back. Real short segment here on our Belmont Show live at Batavia Downs Gaming as a to get you ready for hour number three. Dan Dunleavy coming up in our 4 o'clock hour. Also, Sabres great Danny Gare going to join us live on site here at Batavia Downs Gaming. And then Ryan Hasenauer will rejoin us with his picks coming up here before we leave you at 5 p.m. And don't forget, tonight we have the game of Edmonton and Florida, Game 1 tonight on WGR. So hope you can tune in for that. Again, yeah, Florida, a slight favorite in this series overall. For me, it's kind of a coin flip series. So I guess, you know, if you're looking about actually action on it, I think Edmonton maybe is the play because it's slight plus money. No, you know, less risk, I guess, involved. You know, the Stanley Cup itself this year, you've got teams that had really, really good regular seasons. So you can say, you know, sometimes we get these, you know, the teams that finish kind of in the middle of the road that make their way through the playoffs. It is so difficult to navigate through this, you know, four rounds, obviously. But I think this year you've got a really, really nice set of teams in the finals. You know, you're going to have a team that wins. You're going to say, well, that was a deserving winner. Sometimes we get not the best team from the regular season ending up in
The finals, I think, when you look at these two teams here, Florida, who, of course, you know, ends up winning the Atlantic, one of the best teams in the NHL all year, I think they're clearly worthy. They were there last year. And Edmonton has the best player in the league. So I think it's a good matchup on paper. I understand why maybe it's close on the betting lines. And whoever ends up winning, I think, is a worthy champion. Last year, we know, of course, Vegas won. They were one of the best in the regular season. Then the year before that, Colorado. And then 2 years in a row with Tampa. So overall, you know, you're getting teams that probably are deserving champions based upon the regular season. I always want at least the regular season to have some meaning on the playoffs. Not saying that you can't have upsets, but I don't love it when you get like two teams that finished like 7th and 6th or something in their respective conferences. So the fact that Florida and Edmonton finished so high, I'm really happy about that. All right, we'll take a timeout. Dan Dunleavy coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the latest on the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 1 tonight. We'll see the latest with the Sabres. The Amerks have a new coach. All that and more coming up. Voice of the Sabres, Dan Dunleavy, up next right here. Hour number 3 on our Belmont Show from Batavia Downs Gaming on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.